This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Ken Iwama is now officially Indiana University Northwest's 7th Chancellor. He was installed in a ceremony on Friday in the Theater of the Arts and Sciences building. There were greetings from faculty, staff, and student representatives before the big moment, along with a dramatic reading from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet by the Chancellor's daughter, actor Midori Frances Iwama. IU President Pamela Witten made some remarks before she called for Chancellor Iwama to join her at the podium.
As we have learned, from the time he stepped into the region anonymously for his first initial interview to a year later at his installation, there is no doubt that Chancellor Iwama will continue to be a strong advocate for IU Northwest and the IU Regional Campus mission. I, along with all the colleagues throughout the university, have the utmost confidence that Chancellor Iwama will continue to lead, inspire, and empower those around him in a way that will take this campus to new heights and strengthen the partnerships that make IU Northwest an essential part of the region that it serves. And so, President Witten, faculty, staff, student, family, and guests, it is my honor to present Ken Iwama to be formally installed as the 7th Chancellor of Indiana University Northwest.
Okay, it's not official yet, all right? Now, Chancellor Iwama, would you please join me at the podium? And Trustee Buckner, would you please accompany the Chancellor? Campus Grand Marshal William Allegrezza will also assist. You good? Well, Chancellor Iwama, the responsibilities of stewardship are certainly well known to you. Your education and experience as an academic administrator have thoroughly prepared you for the leadership of this wonderful institution, IU Northwest. We look to you to build upon the campus's strong legacy of exceptional teaching and scholarship, student-focused educational excellence, and of course, community engagement. Now, will all who are able, please, once again, stand. Ken Iwama, by the virtue of the authority vested in me by the trustees of Indiana University, I hereby formally install you as Chancellor of Indiana University Northwest. I place upon you the powers, duties, and responsibilities of this high office and entrust you with the authority to govern judiciously. Please join me in enthusiastically congratulating Chancellor Iwama with a round of applause. Seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to introduce Ken Iwama, the official Chancellor of IU Northwest.
I was going to ask President Wynn if we could just stop this now. I mean, this because there's nothing. The only thing I can do is ruin it now. It's at this point. And it is a little disturbing, though, as a lawyer, that I may have been unofficial and illegal for the last year. But we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that at a later time. Thank you, President Wynn, Trustee Buckner, members of the Board of Trustees. I will be relentless in earning every day this great honor you have bestowed upon me. For some, today may be your first in-person introduction to our new president, but as President Wynn had mentioned, over the summer, even before her official start date, she embarked on a whirlwind tour visiting all IU's regional campuses. Her visit to IU Northwest was so well received by our students, faculty, staff, and community, and signified the great value President Wynn places on this community and this institution. So thank you again, President Wynn, for your leadership. Oh, I'd like to mention some friends and colleagues who have not yet been introduced and will not be speaking today. I would like to start by acknowledging Mark Baer, our faculty organization president, who is performing out of state and could not be here. I would like to ask the Chancellor's Cabinet, whose leadership and dedication I call upon every day, will our Cabinet members please stand and be recognized? Thank you. Also with us today are colleague chancellors of our Northwest Indiana Higher Education Institutions. Please stand and remain standing as I call your name. Louis Gonzalez, Chancellor, Ivy Tech Community College, Lake County. Tom Keon, Chancellor, Purdue University Northwest. And Atso Sikowski, Chancellor, Ivy Tech Community College, Valparaiso. And representing Valparaiso University, Kevin Gobert, Associate Professor of Meteorology, representing again Valparaiso University. Thank you. The IU Northwest Board of Advisors have provided me with such wise and supportive counsel since I have arrived. I will now call on all members of our Board of Advisors to please stand and be recognized. Thank you. And welcome to everyone else who is here today, our valued alumni, the public officials who provide invaluable support to IU, and all other friends of IU Northwest. Welcome at last to our formal official introduction to each other. I started IU Northwest in August of 2020, and normally this installation would have taken place a few months after my arrival. The operative word in that statement is normally. But of course, my arrival coincided with a time in history that can only be described as anything but normal. In the grand scheme of things, delaying this ceremony for a year was such a relatively insignificant consequence of the pandemic. As I stand here before you now, I am convinced that today was the way it was meant to be. Instead of speaking in front of strangers, a year later I'm enveloped in a room of friends and colleagues with bonds that have already been forged and then strengthened through a year of collective triumph, struggle, and in many cases, inspirational triumph. For me, today is not a consequence. It's a gift, so thank you. My adult journey has not been one traveled alone, but with another, my wife Joanne. Among her many accomplishments in life, Joanne epitomizes the fulfillment of the promise of adult learners, having completed her bachelor's degree in social work late in life, followed by the attainment of her master's degree, then dedicating her professional life to helping children in foster care reunite with families. Truth be told, whatever my accomplishments may be, they truly pale in comparison to Joanne's. And frankly, I would not be here without her partnership and support. In fact, it was a few years back that the two of us started seriously discussing thoughts on pursuing a chancellor position. In that discussion, Joanne suggested that I consider applying to one of the following institutions: the College of the Florida Keys, any university in Southern California, and if all else failed, the University of the Bahamas. If you're sensing a warm weather theme, your intuition is spot on. I actually first came to visit Northwest Indiana by myself in the middle of the winter in 2020. And as I drove from O'Hare Airport to IU Northwest, I remember frantically thinking, where can I take a picture of something in Northwest Indiana that looks warm? Or at least has the potential to be warm someday, right? I end up in the city of Gary's Miller Beach and send Joanne a picture of Lake Michigan, which in retrospect, at the time, it probably looked colder than the Arctic Ocean. But all kidding aside, the epilogue to this, our family gladly traded the possibility of year-round warm weather for the genuine warmth of the people of Northwest Indiana. I would like to take a moment now to introduce you to that family. Will my wife, Joanne, and our three wonderful children, Patrick, Marcus, and Midori, please stand and remain standing? And will my Sisters Kyo and Yumi and all the other Wama relatives and significant others, please join them in standing as well, too. Thank you. Please be seated. Our destiny in reality was decades in the making, spanning generations, beginning with the respective decisions of my mother and father to each leave Japan shortly after the end of World War II to come to the United States to seek better lives through higher education. A few years ago, my father wrote a brief account of his experience, which he entitled Journey to the Land of Hope and Opportunity, a story which has meaningful parallels to IU Northwest. I'm honored to share his story with you now. In the late summer of 1949, a 19-year-old from a small country town in Japan boarded a Northwest Orient airline flight en route from Tokyo to Anchorage. He was the only Japanese passenger on the plane. He carried his student visa and held all of his belongings in cardboard boxes tied up with string. The box that he carried on the plane contained two books, the Old Testament and Gulliver's Travels, both in Japanese, and a tea ceremony set, the latter which the young man brought along, imagining that would be of interest to Americans curious about Japanese culture. He was wearing a custom-made suit presented to him by a master sergeant of the American Occupational Forces. Then, Japan was still recovering from the aftermath of the war. The young man was hopeful and anxious at the time. His knowledge of English was very limited, indeed so limited that he could not understand the flight attendant, who told him he needed to disembark in Shemya Island, the westernmost of the Aleutian Islands, so that the plane could refuel. He remained in his seat, afraid to leave the plane, until she wrapped him in a blanket and carried him off. The young man's generous uncle in California made that journey possible. The uncle knew that the United States would give the young man the opportunities he needed, despite the fact that the uncle, his wife, and children were incarcerated at the Gila River internment camp in Arizona during World War II. That young man was my father more than 70 years ago. Since that time, he earned a bachelor's, master's, and PhD degrees in electrical engineering from the University of California, Berkeley. He paid $50 a semester to attend. In his student years, he was a teaching and lab assistant, jobs which enabled him to cover his living expenses. By the time he was in graduate school, he was making enough that he could send money back to Japan to help support his parents. After teaching at Berkeley for a short time, he was hired by AT&T Bell Telephone Laboratories, where he remained for over 30 years and had a rewarding career. He earned U.S. citizenship in 1968. In my father's own concluding words, "It has been an exciting life. I'm truly grateful to the countless individuals who warmly received me and helped me acclimate to life in this country." I still have the tea ceremony set. And that's how my father's story ends. You know, I still have the tea ceremony set. But as the legendary radio broadcaster Paul Harvey used to say, now here's the rest of the story. The tea ceremony was a ritual traditionally practiced by the wealthier of Japanese society. That was certainly not my father's family. It was Toyoko Kurokawa, a woman of such means, who saw my father promise, buying him the tea set, teaching him the ceremony. She was the one who also introduced him to George Mattson, the Air Force sergeant stationed in Japan, who started teaching my father English and gave him that first suit he wore on the plane to the United States. And it was my great uncle Frank Awam in America, even after being imprisoned in an internment camp with his wife and two sons, losing everything they had, still believed enough in America, the land of hope and opportunity, that he offered to sponsor and support my father to attend college in California. These are echoes of a similar journey taken by my mother. For her, it was Mr. and Mrs. Shaw of Holtville, California, who helped her, and then her older sister, settle in the United States. And Professor Wertheimer from Berkeley, who convinced my mother to apply for a scholarship from Catholic Social Services so she could attend the university where she would eventually attain her undergraduate degree in sociology and her master's in social work. And yes, where she would also meet my father. This is perhaps the grand symbolism of that tea ceremony set that my father brought to this country over 70 years ago. People helping people, people helping students. Those who helped my parents, Toyoko Kurokawa, Master Sergeant George Mattson, my great uncle Frankie Wama, and others, they're no longer with us. but their beautiful spirit of mentorship, caring, and support of people and students lives right on, right here in Northwest Indiana at IU Northwest. Only the names have changed to those now of our faculty and staff who continue to create and support the transformative, life-changing experiences for our students that we see in stunning display at every commencement. I would like you to now introduce you to my remarkable parents, Midori and Maureen Miyawama. Please stand and be recognized. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Please be seated. We have emerged from one of the most challenging times in our history, not defeated, rather just the opposite, imbued with a new sense of resiliency and reaffirmation of purpose, to think and vision anew about how to advance our noble mission of student success, of human self-actualization, and socioeconomic mobility. Perhaps only the eloquence of a poet can adequately capture the true essence of our feelings at this moment in time. On the back of the pin card you received upon entering the theater, we are presenting you with a gift of a poem created by Professor William Allegrezza, who spoke earlier, entitled Spirals of the New. The poem speaks to our collective experience over the past year and a half, from the hope that initially sustained us, to embarking upon active individual resilience, to then, quote, look up and find others doing the same, again and again, forward together into something new. Our confidence in being able to move forward together into something new is just not some fanciful optimism. It lies in the very real and tangible strength that is our foundation. One of the gifts, as I've described it, holding this installation a year after I arrived, is that I already know about our power, the unique richness of experience and talent that only one of the most diverse student bodies in the state can bring, the excellence of our faculty teaching, research, scholarship, and performing creative arts, the unparalleled dedication of our staff. Yes, we are well aware of the great challenges beyond the pandemic that are confronting us and other similar higher education institutions, demographic shifts, the rise of counter-narratives concerning the value of a college degree, just to name a few. These major challenges message to us with resounding clarity that IU Northwest can't go it alone. So as we begin to move forward together into something new, as the poem goes, I commit to you that this newness will focus on a reinvigorated commitment to embracing and immersing ourselves within our communities, our government entities, representatives, economic development organizations, nonprofits, K-12 schools, businesses, our colleague higher education institutions, and more. As I was able to personally experience the power of IU Northwest this past year, so too have I been witness to the continuing emergence of Northwest Indiana. I've heard the increasingly unified voices from our communities, which are driving new regional economic development opportunities and growth that can best be described as once in a lifetime. Connecting the energies from IU Northwest in Northwest Indiana, catching that lightning in a bottle with the resulting whole becoming greater than the sum of our respective parts, becoming something new. That is the bold prediction of our future together. I will admit to you, I'd struggled somewhat with how I should conclude my remarks today. What lasting impression could I leave to help us move forward together? I decided to end by asking you to do something for me. Please pull out your pin card, affixed with a We Aren't Together pin, if you could. To avoid risk of injury, I am not going to ask you to pin yourselves. But please hold up the card in front of you as I read the card's inscription. Coming to IU Northwest during the one of the most challenging times in its history, I found inspiration from the campus community's remarkable strength and resiliency. Through it all, we stood united in supporting each other to advance our noble mission of transforming the lives of our students and enriching our communities. This pin was created to celebrate our pledge to remain IUN strong by continuing to live by these words, we are in this together. Wear it with pride, because together we can accomplish anything. I'm so proud to be your chancellor, so proud to belong to Indiana University, and on behalf of Joanne and me, just so happy to call Northwest Indiana our new home, but mostly to call you our friends. And yes, in the reception to follow, we will be serving tea. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chancellor. Your words certainly inspire great optimism and confidence for the future of this campus. I know that I speak for all of us today in extending our congratulations and our best wishes in what we know will be a very successful tenure as the Chancellor here. And so we come to the end of this historic occasion, and I want to thank a few folks, if I may, certainly the outstanding musicians who have performed so beautifully today. I also want to thank Sandra Crittenbrink and Deborah Pampalone, our sign language interpreters. In addition, I extend my personal thanks to the members of the IU Northwest University Advancement and External Affairs team and the members of the installation committee who worked behind the scenes to plan today's events. And of course, our thanks also go to the IU Northwest faculty, staff, and students for your participation. And I want, of course, to thank all of you for being a part of this wonderful occasion today. Thank you, everyone.
That was IU President Pamela Whitten following the official installation of IU Northwest Chancellor Kenny Wama on Friday on the IU Northwest campus. September 22nd was National Centenarians Day, honoring those who have celebrated 100 birthdays or more. And here in Northwest Indiana, one in particular, Lela Mae Washington, has just celebrated her 100th birthday with a very special celebration. And to talk about it, we have Lela Mae Washington's daughter, Toni Simpson, with us. And Toni, thanks for joining us on Regionally Speaking.
Thank you so much for having me.
I understand
there was the 100-year-old young woman is right by my side.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I understand that you had quite a celebration. How did you get so many community members and elected officials, as well as the family and friends, together to celebrate your mother's birthday?
Wow. This is a wonderful community. And it was, you know, I hate to say that it was, you know, on the spur of the moment. But, you know, as I kept thinking about it, and what greater way than to honor our centenarians? And, you know, my mom, who has always, you know, questioned her worth to some degree, and I remind her of the long lineage and legacy that she's been able to have. You know, she lost her mom when she was 25 years old. And here she is at 100 with four generations, bringing her life full circle. So I thought about what greater way, if I can't get 100 cards together to honor her, then, you know, that's not a good thing. I do a lot in this community, and the community came out and showed out, you know, with the fire department, the police department. We even had motorcycle riders in there from the Sin City Disciple Club. You know, and just citizens that are still coming to her home honoring because they saw what was happening. And it's such a great feel. Even across our pond, you know, as pictures were on social media, they were dubbing her Queen Lela. And I'm like, oh, Mom, you're about to create something with Queen Elizabeth here.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing. It just happened magically. But I think the timing is everything. And people wanted to be a part of something that felt good.
I understand that you had quite a few proclamations from a number of very important people in the city of Gary in Northwest Indiana. Will you tell us about how these proclamations came about and who all finally came up one way or the other, either presenting them in person or sending them off by proxy to get her honored for her birthday?
Absolutely. And that part was really a huge surprise and humbling. Starting with our mayor, you know, he did a city proclamation honoring her. I know I may not have time to read it, but it was such a beautiful testament to her life, you know, whereas the city of Gary recognized her with respect and admiration. And he was in person leading the parade, of course, you know, to present this to her, which spoke a little bit about her history. And how they proclaimed, you know, that the citizens of Gary on that day, you know, as a true centenarian here in the city. And then, of course, our honorable Indiana State Representative, Dr. Vernon Smith, who has known my mother forever. He's like a son to her. And he showed up and he acknowledged and made her an honorary Indiana State Representative. And he shared with her that on the days that he did not feel like going downstate, that she's to go in his stead. And she was right on point with that. She's like, I will set them straight. And he's like, I know you will. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Senator Eddie Melton, like you said, his came in as well. We just received that. And Frank Mervan is working on something right now.
That's great.
You know, it's quiet as it's kept. So I'm just overwhelmed. My mother is overwhelmed. There are just so many flowers on people just still bringing things by the home and just wishing her, you know, all the best.
Now, while we're all living a lot longer than our grandparents did, we can't always count centenarians in the family. It's no small feat, I guess, for your mother, no. Certainly, to be able to celebrate such a 100th anniversary with her friends and family. Has bringing together the celebration, it was rather large, since you mentioned it has involved fire trucks and police cars and motorcycles and lots of vehicles together, as well as a parade at the house. Has pulling such an event together for your mother inspired others, do you think, to recognize and to celebrate their loved ones?
I sure hope it does and that it will. That is my hope. I'm striving to work to have something in her name to make sure that at least in the city of Gary that this will be the case, you know, because so many do not have families, you know, and they are not being honored and recognized. And I know that this is another huge undertaking that I will probably end up having to take on, but I think it's worth it. I shared, you know, with many people, when I look at where we are today in this pandemic, when my mother was born 100 years ago, her parents protected her, you know, from some mysterious virus, which we knew as, you know, a Spanish flu epidemic. And here I am. And her third youth, as I like to dub it, when you reach that age, their third youth, I've been protecting her, you know, during this global pandemic. And on both ends, she's aware but not aware. You know, she sees everyone kind of, you know, in these masks and all of these things, like, what are they doing? What's going on? And, you know, I just feel that her life is so blessed, and I'm extremely fortunate to be able to be in this position to do this for her, as she calls me her mother. She's like, I know you're my daughter, but you're like a mother to me. And I'm like, well, I was probably your mother in many other lands. We've dwelled in many lands together. So, yeah, absolutely. I just hope that those that are listening will honor their loved ones that reach this exclusive club in the most joyous way as possible, because they appreciate it and they are very clear about it. And we have to do that. We just have to do that. The icing on the cake for my mom with the four generations that she has, her great-granddaughter, which is my grandchild, actually turns one in a few days. So she has come full circle. I have the Alpha and Omega, 1 to 100.
Wow.
You know, and that's a rarity, like all of these rare moons and skies that we're experiencing. I just am in awe of her life. You know, she has truly come full circle in her life.
Toni Simpson is Lela Mae Washington's daughter, and Lela Mae Washington just celebrated her 100th birthday, and the celebration included, among other things, a parade at her house, also visits by the City of Gary fire trucks and police cars, and proclamations by people like Gary Mayor Jerome Prince. Toni, thank you very much, and I'm glad such a great event happened, and this might spur other people who have family members that are close to that to be able to plan for the same. Thank you very much for talking about it today. And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, we will bring you an update on the Mascot Hall of Fame in Whiting, how it's been coping with COVID-19 during the pandemic, and about some special events in the weeks ahead that includes a fundraiser with the accent on fun. We hope you can join us.